differently than a half pipe.
Where do you get the speed to do it, though?
Drop in the stadium, like where the seating would be.
Right.
And you just get all your speed from there. You come down to where it's flat. You got about 20 feet of flat and then a big 25-foot quarter pipe.
It seems, for those of you who aren't from Los Angeles and don't follow basketball, the Forum is obviously where the Lakers played for many, many years, just to switch into the Staples Center last year or the year before. And it seems almost impossible to do something like this inside a basketball arena. It's like a takeoff ramp, like what Evel Knievel used to use in the 70s when he'd do a jump like in the Kingdome or something, where he'd have a long, thin takeoff ramp and then hit the quarter pipe, except for he just hit a bunch of buses and then hit the hospital. But how wide is this thing? I mean, what are the chances of you sliding off the approach?
Really good. Actually, no, the approach is fine, but flying off the sides of the quarter pipe and stuff definitely happens because you have to go straight up and land on the vert, and a lot of people fly that way or fly this way. So there's
for those of you who are listening radio, Jim pointed in front of him and then behind him. So
and depending on how big it is,
right?
A lot of the time these things are over 20 feet tall, and so you're rolling into it going 30, 40 miles per hour trying to go 20 feet out on it.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of stunt work.
And
Evel Knievel-ish.
Is this, now, and what are you sliding on? It's not ice. Is it ice?
Yeah, it's chopped ice.
It's chopped ice, yep. Which is sort of like snow, but doesn't it eventually just get icy?
It feels pretty similar. It's kind of like summer snow.
And this goes on before the concert, during the concert, after the concert?
They have three rounds to the contest, so we'll ride, and then
right.
They'll cut, like, they'll have 20 guys in the beginning, then they'll cut to eight, they'll show a band, then they'll have the eight ride, then they'll show another band, and then us, yeah.
How much air do you figure someone will get on these things?
Probably 25.
Oh, my God.
You can pretty much go about as big as the quarter pipe is. So if it's a 25-foot quarter pipe, we'll be able to go between 25, maybe even 30 if someone really gets a good one.
Is that normally the rule of thumb when it comes to snowboarding? You can get the height of the pipe?
It's as big as the transition is. Yeah, that's our theory, at least.
Jim, by the way, was voted by a magazine to be most likely a snowboarder to die on the job. So you can look forward to that coming up. In,
hopefully not.
Just a couple of weeks.
You hit your nuts.
All right, thank you. Drew.
Sometimes.
Drew is in Chicago because somebody dropped a nickel over there. I think it was last week. Drew just found out about it last night, so he hopped the first plane, and he's over there chasing it. I think it's still rolling in the street. He allegedly is going to be on the air in our Chicago affiliate and on the air with us tonight soon. We're having a little technical problem, but that's fine. We can operate without him because, as we all know from listening to the show, I am the star of this show.
Whatever.
I am Major Adams to this wagon train. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, me and my girlfriend, we've been going out about a month and a half, I guess, and I just need some ideas to kind of move the relationship along. I mean, things are getting kind of boring.
Yeah, all right. Well, you may be done. I mean, if you got to sit around and think about ways to make a six-week relationship exciting, maybe it ain't there.
Well, I mean, we've known each other a long time, and I really like her. But, I mean, we've been good friends, and
yeah. It's
just that we can't always get together when we want to.
Well, what are you saying, move it along, though? Do you see the kind of retards you call this show? What does that mean?
Like, to do stuff. Because, I mean, basically, like, what we've been doing is just going out with my brother and his girlfriend.
All right, so are you saying, you're not saying you're bored, you're saying you want to have sex?
No.
You don't want to have sex?
Well, I didn't say that.
All right.
Where do you want to move the relationship to? Like, what's the next step for you?
I'm not sure of that right now.
Okay. Well, then we're going to hang up on you. Listen, if me and the snowboarders can't help you, it can't be done. Listen, I'm not exactly sure what you're saying. I mean, you want to be closer? Is she holding back?
No, she's not holding back. It's just that I need to know, like, what I need to do to get closer. Like,
do you guys talk at all? Do you, like, know this girl as a person?
Yeah.
And she admits to being your girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you have sex?
No.
Well, you don't have sex?
No.
So would you like to have sex?
I don't know.
Oh, Okay. Well, Joe, here's the deal.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
All right. Well, you got to figure out what you want before you pursue it, because you don't have an itinerary here.
Right.
You don't have a roadmap. Why don't you want sex?
I'm not ready.
All right. Well, what base have you gotten to with her?
Depends on how you define it.
Okay. First base, making out. And okay, you guys stop me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while since I've been on the dime. First base is like kissing, right?
Okay.
Second base is like making out, feeling up top.
Yep.
Okay.
Third base is like getting a hand down the pants. And
home base is
home base, and then, of course, the dugout. that's the backside. So what base have you gotten to, Joe?
Yeah, second.
Second base.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you see if you can stretch that into a triple? And then see where that goes, all right?
Buy some
right.
flowers or right. something.
And the next time you call, I have a question. Would you please?
All
Thank
right.
you. All right. Alex?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What is up?
This may sound like the dumbest question, but...
No, the last one was the dumbest question we've ever had.
I have this girlfriend. I've been going out with her for a couple weeks. Actually, like a month now. And I haven't kissed her yet, and it's because I don't know how to start the kiss.
Right. You don't know, like, which way to turn your head and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're thinking about it too much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That is natural function. It's like me trying to teach someone to take a crap or something. It just happens. But if you think about it too much, you'll get constipation.
Yeah.
That's a horrible analogy, but... You guys know what I'm saying?
No, the perfect analogy.
I was?
It's something that just has to kind of happen. I mean, you can't force that, and when it's right and you're looking at each other's eyes and it's time to kiss, you're going to kiss and just go for it, man. Don't trip on, like, how you're going to go in.
Yeah, and don't hold back either. You know?
Yeah, don't hold back. Just go for
right.
it.
Right. On the other hand, don't go nuts with the tongue.
Yeah,
easy. She doesn't want to be kissing like a Labrador or something, all right? But
okay.
just do it. Don't
yeah,
think about
if
it.
If you guys haven't kissed, she's probably thinking the same thing. And
right.
She's probably leaving it up to you to maybe make the first move, so she'll probably be happy that you do.
And how do you know she's your girlfriend if you haven't even kissed?
Well, we're going steady right now.
How do you know?
Because I said, do you want to be my girlfriend? I don't know.
You did, and she said yes.
Yes.
All right, you got to kiss her now, right?
Yep.
All right, and just don't think about it too much.
Okay.
You know, a couple of wine coolers wouldn't hurt either. I got to be honest with you. I know you're 16. I shouldn't be telling you to drink, but it does cut the edge a little bit.
Hey, and later, too late for drinking.
All right, just move in and don't think about it. All right.
Just go for it.
Yeah, we get this question a lot, and I'm sure everyone goes through it, usually not at 16, usually more like 12 or 13, but the point is you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just move in. I'm just going down the lines here. Oh, is Drew on the other line?
Yes.
Drew!
Yes.
What's happening?
Oh, man.
What's up?
Well, technical problems.
All right.
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Although the thought of you teaching somebody to take a crap almost just, no.
Well, I'll tell you, if there was a school for it, I'd probably be a certified instructor.
That's probably true.
Me walking. There'd be like a whole class of people sitting on toilets, and I'm walking by the clipboard. Nice, nice. Bobby, you're looking good. Tim, Cheryl, lean back a little. Too much weight. Too much weight on the kneecaps. You understand?
Yeah,
you're pushing too hard.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying too hard. All right. Sloppy Joe's for lunch. What's up there, Drew? You ready to go?
We're talking to. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, Drew, do you have a computer in front of you?
I do.
All right. So
I can't figure out how to put the calls up, though. I can see what the calls are.
Whatever.
I can't get the thing to go.
Right. All right. Well, you just tell me the number, the line you want. I'll punch it,
all right?
Right?
Three. You're on with Stuart. He's 21.
Stuart?
Hello?
What's up?
Yeah. I had a sexual experience when I was 13 and I felt like I was taken advantage of. And it was with a guy who was a lot older than me.
How old?
And I didn't think, like 25.
Yeah. Okay. That's right, basically.
Yeah. What happened?
It wasn't anything, like, I don't know. It wasn't, gosh, well,
It wasn't forceful, but that doesn't mean it wasn't rape. It was still a rape. So what's the question about it?
Well, okay, in the last...
And by the way, to Drew, everything is rape. You bump into someone who's in front of you in line. That's rape. You understand? Yeah. Your shopping cart hits someone else's shopping cart in the produce section. Rape. Yeah.
No, but this has had an effect on you, and it was,
no, that,
it was
13 and 25. You know,
unlawful sexual intercourse.
Despicable.
Okay. Hey, well, okay. I guess my question is, in the last 6 months to a year, I've been dealing with my own sexuality a lot and questioning whether I might be gay, and I want to know if that's a contributing factor.
Well, it didn't help, but by 13, Drew, don't you think this sort of sexual cement had dried by then?
You would think, but then again, why was he a source for a victimizer? You know, why was he such a good victim at 13?
Yeah, why did you go along with this at 13?
Well, I don't know, really.
Who was this guy?
Were you physically abused?
What's that?
Were you physically abused ever?
No.
Where was your dad?
I wasn't living at home.
Why not?
At the time.
Why not?
Because it's kind of a complicated situation, but I wasn't living with my parents. I was basically in a boarding type situation.
Okay, so things weren't great at home?
Yeah.
All right.
What was the problem?
My family split when I was young. But that wasn't the...
All right, hold on a second. I got to talk to Drew. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
It's Quaalude and Ether night tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Last three calls has just been like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on at home? Come on.
I don't know.
Family. Yes. It's like, speed up that teleprompter. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but we're trying to do a goddamn radio show here. Stuart?
Yeah.
Listen. Don't question whatever your feelings are. Those are your feelings. If you like guys, you like guys. Okay.
Okay. So
it may have had something to do with it, forming those feelings, but it
doesn't matter. Those feelings are there. You may want to get a little therapy, talk to somebody, read a book, take a walk, something like that, because this
may not change those feelings though.
This is a traumatizing situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Stuart. Don't freak out too much though.
All right.
The gay lifestyle is a better lifestyle.
I've said it
many times. I wish I was gay. I truly wish I was gay. Hanging out with your buddies. You know what I'm talking about? Living single, carefree, making good money, maybe owning a restaurant, something trendy, something like that. Driving around. All these other saps driving around in minivans. You got yourself a smart convertible. Looking good.
Very nice.
Dressing snappy. Lots of shoes, big buckles on them. Maybe a scarf or something.
You still have to have sex with men.
Yeah, see, that's
where draw the line.
I know, but I think
all the benefits just don't equal that.
I think I've found a loophole. I think I can work around that. I've been thinking about that, and I have a team of scientists working in my basement trying to figure out a loophole around that. But other than that, and
couldn't be better.
Other than that, it's a great life, right? You don't have a bunch of kids tugging at you. You travel all the time. I knew this gay couple. They had separate bedrooms. It was great.
It's kind of a snuggly roommate or something.
Yeah, they'd like bang away in the hall, and then they'd each go back to their own bed or something. And they had their own beds. It was a great life. Drew, what a team we would make.
Oh,
imagine.
Oh,
we take our incomes, we put them together, all of a sudden you don't have all those liabilities, we're living in
my boyfriend would be literally a millionaire.
Yeah, we're living in some kind of castle somewhere, we're both driving, not two-seaters, one-seat cars.
Oh.
Just one seat, we're that irresponsible.
One each,
right in the middle. Can you imagine that, Drew? None of those triplets screaming and crying and all those. What? How much money you feel you spent just in devices so your kids won't kill themselves before their 10th birthday?
This week?
Yeah, right. You got fences in the middle of your house you're tripping into when you're going to the bathroom at night, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to plug a blender in, you got to go get a note from the power company. You got to pop out a bunch of stuff.
Combination lock.
You try to open a kitchen cabinet. You can't get the thing open. You hide the booze, hide the porn. We had a big stack of porn right at the front door. You couldn't open the front door.
Whoa, Adam, that'd be gay porn though, right?
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
No, it wouldn't have to be gay.
You have a fetish for women.
Yeah, that's right. I could be one of those weird gays who upsets the other gays by indulging in straight porn.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, but I get jealous.
Yeah. No, you'd be into it, too.
Okay.
You'd sit in your own room and watch your straight porn.
Oh, no, this sounds even better. Now, if you just move aside while we're going, I can look at the porn. It, perfect.
Yeah, that's right. I won't be there. I'll be in my room. We got our own sports cars and VCRs in every room in the house. Seriously, Drew, me and you, income put together. Carpooling.
That makes such a cute couple.
Carpooling into work every night.
Hmm? What about Jerry?
Oh, I'd have to break the news to him. You don't say anything to that Jimmy.
I won't say anything. No,
he'll be very upset if he hears it from you.
Yes. Oh, all right. Believe it.
All right. Well, hey, he could join in, too. See, that's
the
thing.
No.
What? I'll have your own rooms.
You know my feelings are for you, Drew. It's just Jimmy's, you know, he's funny. He makes me laugh. He's important.
Okay.
He does things you could never do for me.
You can visit with your ex once in a while.
All right. That sounds good.
I trust you.
All right. Laura?
Yes.
You're 32.
Yes, I am.
I think you guys think I'm kidding about this gay lifestyle with Drew. The utopia.
I heard.
All right, what's up there, Laura?
Well, my question is mainly for Dr. Drew, who's actually closer to my time zone.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in Ohio.
I'm in your time zone, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, you're an hour behind, I think.
All right, let's not dedicate the rest of the show to the time zone. What's up?
I doubt that.
What's going on?
Well, I had a question about polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Right.
I heard you discuss it a couple times on the show, and what I wanted to know is I'm still relatively new to the diagnosis, and I'm confused about the testosterone factor, how it supposedly is too much in your system.
Right, that's part of it.
We've gone from the frying pan into the boring fire here.
Well, we're still talking about testosterone, though. That's right.
All
right. We're still on the male.
Let's just power through this one, Drew. Come on.
The main thing, Laura, and the big sort of push towards diagnosing polycystic ovarian disease is to make sure that you have proper screening for diabetes, that this disease is associated with insulin.
Too.
You have diabetes?
Yep.
Or at least the precursor. It's associated with insulin resistance. And are you overweight, too?
Oh, yeah. I think that's
something
what caused it.
Yeah, maybe he should hook up while he's over there.
That's part of the polycystic ovarian syndrome, the weight excess and the insulin resistance and all. And this is all part of this syndrome, and it has different manifestations of different people. But, again, they'll probably put you on some glucophage, and they will have you specialize your diet, and they will have exercise and try to lose some weight and things.
True, and that's staying in good shape for you, buddy. We'd have, like, a nutritionist and a trainer who would come over to the house.
It's starting
to sound like a good life, right? We wouldn't need kids' rooms. We'd have gyms and,
boxing rooms?
Oh, we'd have, like, a heavy bag hanging in the living room.
My God.
Maybe we set up a quarter pipe and have the guys come over and do a little something on the snowboard. One big party. One huge party.
To hit this couple on the block.
Oh, my God, Drew. Really? Seriously, give it some thought. We'll send a little stipend to Susan and the kids just to kind of keep them afloat, set them up maybe to a two-bedroom apartment in Van Nuys or something. You shell out $800 a month. I put in like $250, $275, just kind of keep their heads above water.
My boyfriend, literally a millionaire.
That's right. Could you imagine? We'd be on the cover. We'd be bigger than Anne Heche and Ellen. It'd be huge. Imagine the publicity. They spin it off into a daytime talk show. Drew, I really want you to give this some consideration. All right?
Okay.
Don't talk.
Shh.
Don't talk right now. I just want to look at you. All right. Where are we going? We're going to break?
If you say so.
Oh, boy, you're flustered. You're going to miss it. Are you fanning yourself right now?
Adam?
Yes. We'll go to a break. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, who are we going to talk to?
Let's talk to Corey on line two.
Corey is 13 years old. Father is impotent. Jesus Christ, how does he know? Wants to know if it's hereditary. Hold on a second. Corey?
Yeah?
True, that would never happen to me, by the way. How do you know your father's impotent?
Oh, I kind of found a bottle of Viagra in his drawer.
All right.
Well,
that, That don't mean he's impotent, but hold on a second there, Corey.
All right.
How many did you take? imagine a record. Imagine being 13. It's like, at 13, you whack off 19 times a day anyway. imagine Corey on a Viagra and, like, a liter of Mountain Dew. And home alone with the VCR on a snow day from school. It's just his mom would come home from work and open the front door, and just a big avalanche of semen would come out and just wash her down the street.
Damn it, kid, get out of the drugs.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little about snowboarding and concerts and Corey and erectile difficulties all after this. Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there in Chicago. So far, so good. Rob Kingwell and Jim Rippey are both here. Both professional snowboarders. Jim rides for Burton, and Rob rides for Nike. I didn't even know Nike made snowboards.
They don't make snowboards.
Oh, they don't?
Like snowboarding clothes, eyewear, all that other stuff. Everything about the snowboards.
It's only a matter of time before they do that, right? I got a snowboard. Sean Palmer gave me a snowboard 2 years ago. I still haven't gotten on it because everyone gets hurt doing this. Every time I talk to someone who's walking with a limp, even people in their 70s who look like veterans of World War II, snowboarding.
You got to play to play.
I know. Everyone falls on their ass, and I'm just not prepared to do that. I can't go through that break-in. It'd be like learning to play the clarinet. You know, I'm past it. The window's closed. I can't suck for that long. True?
Corey's on.
You ever been snowboarding?
Never.
No, I haven't.
You ski, though, right?
No, I don't.
Absolutely.
Even ski.
Not you, Corey. You're 13, you're a fresh punk kid. What do you know from snowboarding?
Absolutely, I do.
Ski. Corey?
Yeah?
So you found your dad's Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
And you're assuming he has the erectile problems.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
How old? Does he have any medical problems?
One thing, like one eating disorder or something.
What?
What's he do?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Waist model?
Is he on medication?
Yeah, some. Let's see.
Well, what else did you find in his drawer?
It wasn't even a drawer with, drugs and stuff.
What kind of eating disorder does he have?
I don't really remember. Something like...
Is he a fat guy?
He's big, but he's tall and stuff.
Okay, don't mess with him then. He's going to kick your ass.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he may be taking medication for something else that you're not aware of, like high blood pressure, and sometimes that can screw around with your libido or your erectile function.
Right.
Or maybe he's just using... Some people will screw around with Viagra and use it recreationally, which can be quite dangerous.
Yeah. Right? Well, you've ordered some before the show.
Beautiful. You told me you'd never
put
do that
away.
Again.
Put it away.
Yeah, hey, Corey, don't worry about it. All right, Drew, go ahead.
What? No, he's worried about whether or not it's hereditary or not. No, absolutely not. It's usually, in most males, it's actually part of a medical syndrome. So
they have some sort of problem. Sarah, you're 17. What's that?
Like about a week ago,
yeah,
I had sex with a guy and he pulled out before he ejaculated, but I've heard about like pre-cum and I just wanted to know like what are the chances of getting pregnant off that?
You know what post-cum is, by the way? It's pee. It's urine. Yeah. Okay,
gotta watch out for that one.
Said that before, yeah. Chicks don't like that. Yeah. Won't get them pregnant. They still don't like it.
Sarah, look, you can get pregnant from it. What difference does it make what the exact probabilities are? You can. And you should be taking the morning after pill if you've had that kind of contact. How long would this happen?
What?
All right, hold on. Hey, Drew, let me talk to you for a second. Yeah. Now, I know you're in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's always a pain in the ass when you're not in the studio because we talk simultaneously because we don't look at each other and we don't know when each other's going to speak, right?
Right.
What's up with the callers tonight? Why are they having such difficulty? Is it just me? Do you know what I'm saying? Here we go. We're talking at the same time again. Stop it.
I don't know.
So what are you going to tell Sarah? Go.
Just that she should take the morning after pill. She has a 3-day window with which to get that. And if she had that contact within that 3-day window, she ought to get the morning after pill. That's all. I mean, she of course can get pregnant. That's why you've got to use condoms. You've got to use birth control.
All right. Let me plug the event one more time because I didn't do it coming back from break. Saturday, September 9th. And listen, I'm old and a geek, and this sounds pretty cool to me. Eminem, Cottonmouth Kings, and Mixmaster Mike, and a quarter pipe, which is almost as good as a bong in snowboarding lingo, is going to be there in a big takeoff ramp and guys getting tons of air all indoors in the forum. I would not miss this. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets are $25. But if you break it down into what you're getting, it's like 45 cents per unit of entertainment.
It's definitely going to be an entertaining event. You got some of the biggest superstars in snowboarding showing up. And
oh, my God.
The first ever indoor snowboarding event in America.
Eminem, Cottonmouth King, Snowboard. What percentage of that audience you figure will be stoned? 108%?
109%? Tough to say. Depends on the night.
Angela?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, Saturday night I had unprotected sex. And so I called Planned Parenthood, and today I went and got the morning after pill, thanks to Loveline.
Good.
And DrDrew.com. Anyway, but, so I'm getting, like, horrible cramps, so I don't know if I should take the second dose or not.
But also, nausea?
Yeah, well, it also could be because today I haven't smoked at all because I wanted it to work, and I'm, like, you know, I smoke like a pack a day. And the other thing is that...
Geez, Angela, you're 16. I'd like to see up around 2 packs, if that's possible. Just a pack, huh? I mean, anyone can have a tough day, but I'd like to see you get back up around a pack and a half, 2 packs in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
And the next thing is that...
She believed you.
Other possibility is that the majority of it, like, I have an eating disorder, so I throw up my food a lot. And I didn't do that today either because I didn't want to, like, throw up the pill, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I think that's more to do with what's going on here. Did they give you Prevent or Plan B?
Plan B.
Okay. Plan B shouldn't really make you sick, so...
This pill's been the best day of her life. She added a week to her life. She hasn't vomited or smoked a pack of cigarettes. It's great. You got to take this pill more often, Angela.
Yeah.
Angela, what is up with you, honey? I can hear it in your voice.
No. Nothing's wrong with me.
Everything's good. You're just 16, smoking a pack, doing some vomiting. Everything's cool.
Yeah, I'm enjoying life, though. Like, seriously.
Sure. Oh, yes. You're getting the most out of it. You're seizing life. You have life by the tail. Why not? Please. What? You have an eating disorder? You're smoking a pack a day? You're 16. What's up?
Well, hey, life's life, you know. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Hold on a second. I gotta grab my scratch pad if you're gonna drop gems like that. Let's see, life is you gotta do. How'd that one go?
Life.
Slow down. Three lives? Life's life?
Life's life.
Better if you take care of your body a little better, sounds like.
I know, I plan on it. I'm going to. Oh,
like, why don't you use this as a start?
I just want to try E and then I'll be all done, you know.
All right, hold on. Slow down a little, Plato. Life's life. And what was the other one? You got to do what you got to do. All right.
Yeah. Take the next dose of Plan B. Please don't miss that next dose, okay?
Yeah,
we don't need the...
It's 3 in the morning, so hopefully I wake up.
Take it. Oh, take it. We don't need child rearing. That's not part of your life's life yet.
I don't want you raising a hamster.
There's no way I want to have a child.
Good. Go.
Make sure it happens, hey?
Set your alarm.
Can you go lesbian?
I've done that. I don't
know. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Where's your dad? I'd like to lock him up.
My dad's at home. No, seriously, I'm like over everything, all my triumphs in life. I'm like set to go, you know?
What happened? What happened to you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry.
All right, but seriously, were you traumatized at some point in life?
Yeah.
Something, right?
Yeah.
All right?
Sure, everybody's traumatized.
Yeah, but not like you.
Well, hey,
Drew, let me tell you what...
I'm okay now, you know?
All right, Drew was traumatized as a youth. His ascot did not match his hanky in his navy blazer. And
Adam's grandma missed a football game. Pop Warner football game.
Oh, how dare you, Drew. How dare you come back with
that? That was your trauma. I'm sorry to bring it up, honey.
But listen, if we're going to be living together, we can't be taking shots at each other verbally constantly.
Save it for the therapist's office.
Let's just make up.
All right.
I don't have to give you a little time out. All right. Whatever it is, Angela, hit the therapist and read some books and take care of yourself, honey. And the whole X and the cigarettes and the vomiting is probably not a great start for the young age of 16. Drew? Yeah. Eric?
Yeah?
You're 17 years old. What's that?
Oh, I was listening, like, Friday to y'all's show.
Right.
I heard Dr. Drew say something about blackouts and having to do with alcoholism.
No, he was
Blackouts suggests that you probably have that disease. If you have a family history of alcoholism and you're blacking out and you're young, that's the beginning of that disease.
Yeah, because I just found out recently that my uncle is an alcoholic.
There you go.
All right. Why, have you blacked out, Eric?
Yeah.
What did you do? Now, a lot of people think blacking out means passing out, but it really just means doing stuff while you're awake and not knowing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a party this summer. I was drinking, and I don't remember half the stuff that I did that night.
Yeah. Well, that does happen.
But that's a blackout. The manner in which alcoholics drink tends to predispose to a blackout, so that's a sign that you probably have that disease. And then the other risk factor there, obviously, is your family history. So it's a good chance that's what's going on. It's the beginning of that disorder.
I had a few friends who did this when I was growing up, and, you know, I didn't know what it was. But my friend Rudy, we went to Tijuana with this cat, and he just went completely insane for hours and hours and hours. I mean, he was like a delusional. He wanted to go. I mean, is this part of this, Drew?
No, that's actually toxic psych. Yeah, you get toxic depression or toxic psychoses sometimes with blackout, sometimes not. Blackout just means that your information is not going from short-term memory to long-term. You don't know what you've done.
Well, he had some sort of toxic reaction.
Yeah,
and another time he got drunk, he was at USC. That's your alma mater, right, Drew?
Yeah.
He took a cramp on the coffee table of his dorm room. His roommate had him arrested, and he woke up shackled to a hospital bed. So that was just sort of bizarre behavior. But here's the thing.
Sort of.
Makes a good story, though.
Oh, yeah. Sure, he can tell it now. Wait till his kids find out. It'd be great. Here's the thing that is most bizarre about Rudy completely freaking out in Tijuana. We used to go to stay with our friends in San Diego. We went to San Diego State, which is really... San Diego State is a four-year junior college. Maybe worse, academically. People go there, they lie in the sun, they smoke weed, and then they go to Tijuana on the weekend and get loaded and stagger back to their apartments. I mean, never let your kid go to that school. Never. You think they're learning something? They're learning how to get high and buy piñatas and plaster Paris ETs with Prussian helmets from guys at the border. We used to go to stay with our friends in San Diego State, and what a surprise, these people weren't geniuses. They liked the party as much as we did. We'd all hop in a car, we'd drive into TJ, we'd party there all night, and then we'd drive back to San Diego, which is about a half-hour ride, and stay in someone's dorm room. Rudy, and here's the scariest part about this whole thing, when we were coming back from Tijuana, we decided that he was in the best condition to drive. Out of all the people.
Nice.
that is messed up. That's back when drinking and driving was cool, though, by the way, kids. I don't condone that anymore. This is in the mid-40s. And anyway, then later on, he went on a sort of psychotic episode where he ran up and down the dorms and banged on everyone's room and yelled, we got to go back into Tijuana and get the men out and all this kind of stuff. And it was big. He ended up sleeping underneath his car on the street. But it was great. And it just keeps going and going and going. I stayed in another dorm. They called me at like 4 in the morning and told me to control my friend. I hung the phone up and went back to bed. And when I showed up and saw the aftermath the next morning, people were upset at me for bringing him, I guess, is the short way
of putting it. What's Rudy up to now?
Rudy, Rudy and I don't talk anymore because he went to Germany about 15 years ago, and I told him to buy me a pair of Lederhosen. And he came back with some like long leather pants that weren't Lederhosen, and he wanted his $80. And I was like, "Those aren't Lederhosen; those are leather pants." And he's like, "Give me my $80." And I'm like, "I'm not paying you $80 for leather pants. I wanted Lederhosen." And that was it. Hey, Drew, That's that's never going to happen to us, baby.
I was just thinking that. That's why we're going to have a therapist.
We'll go to Germany together with our therapist.
Yeah, well, we'll be cute in lederhosen together.
Both wear leather pants, okay.
Oh, lederhosen.
Yeah, lederhosen, not leather pants, even though I think the literal transition is leather pants.
Right.
Well, he spoke German. Maybe he was confused. He heard leather pants. All right, oh, my God, when he passes Jerwiener Schnitzel, imagine what's going through his mind. We'll take it's that picture in corn dogs, I'm sure. We'll take a little break. When we come back, who are we going to talk to?
Danielle, line one.
Danielle is 17, has had sex several times, and has never reached an orgasm. Wants to know how to change that? We'll tell her all about the tub after this. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tony Hawk will be in here tomorrow night. Always fun to see him. Very nice guy, as well as one hell of a skateboarder. Rob Kingwell and Jim Rippey are both here tonight, both professional snowboarders, both going to be out at the Los Angeles Forum on the 9th, I believe it is. Yeah, Saturday, September 9th. 6:30, doors open. Tickets, $25. Eminem, Cottonmouth Kings, Mixmaster Mike, and a quarter pipe with a long takeoff ramp, and lots of good times for the whole family. This I really still don't know how they're going to pull this off, but they've figured out a way to stuff things that took place outdoors in different seasons indoors now.
Tons and tons of ice constantly being chipped, and the quarter pipe constantly being maintained is the only way they ever pull it off.
And is there some sort of freezing element that's in the quarter pipe itself?
It's just a structure. Yeah, it's a structure, and then they blow it on there. They put it into like a chipper, like a wood chipper.
Right.
They just blow it on there and then start packing it. It takes a ton of work. It takes like maybe 3 days.
And every so often they have to blow some more on there?
Yeah, and they have to maintain it. Like when the band will be playing, they'll be fixing the quarter pipe, trying to make it as good as it can be.
Right. And who's going to do the judging? I mean, how do you know who's going to win this thing?
There's three judges. They just pick like random people. It's kind of funny, but
well, are they guys who work, you know, Snowboarder magazine?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully,
but they always have like one gay designer in there.
Oh yeah,
Just like they do on the fashion show.
Yeah, he checks out your clothing design.
Fill that space.
Make sure you're color coordinated as you drop in.
Danielle.
Hi.
Danielle.
Hello.
You're 17.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Yeah, I've had sex. A lot, you know, because I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years, and we've been doing it for about, I would say, 2 years. And I've never, ever, ever had an orgasm, ever. And I want to know how I can get one.
He's listening to the radio driving home. He's now driving off the freeway overpass. He's going in oncoming traffic. Does he know this?
No.
Have you been faking for him?
Yeah.
Oh, this poor son of a bitch.
You gotta let him know. You gotta stop faking and let him know. First of all.
Crush him.
Yeah, it's too late.
Well, no, give him a little coaching.
Yeah.
Remember how we did this, though? We were going to say, hey, something's not right with me right now. Maybe you need to do a little this, a little bit of that. Don't come out and say, hey, I've been faking all this time. Just sort of say, so I don't know what the matter is, but things aren't happening right now. Maybe try this, try that. But, of course, you know, you're right, Danielle. It might be unrealistic. Unless you can figure out a way to masturbate and sort of master this on your own. So
how is he in the oral sex department?
He is okay. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Do you think that might be the way to go?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there's just a higher percentage of you having one via oral sex than there is via intercourse. You know what I'm saying?
So that means, like, forever? I'm like, we're making more.
Is Ann there tonight to give her a little talking to?
Yeah. Ann is here. And belly up to that mic, and let's hear from the expert.
Somebody knows what they're talking about. Talk about
yeah. That. What do you think? First off, Ann, would you tell him that you're faking these 2 years?
Absolutely not.
Good. That is the voice of reason. And secondly, what should she do?
Has she tried masturbating?
Yeah, I have. And I can get one like that. It's just.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, now he's really killing himself if he's listening to this.
Well, what do you do to masturbate?
Just the rubbing, not really inside, just rubbing.
Uh-huh.
And, it, you know, I can definitely get one like that. It's just...
Can you show him what you're doing or what, have him watch you?
I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, Danielle, why don't we just do the math? You can have an orgasm on your own through doing a certain technique. Why don't you just have him do that technique, and then you'll get to have an orgasm with him?
All right.
See? There you go.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hmm.
Why is it, Drew, our listeners can make sound advice be so unsatisfying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's how 90% of these calls end with me going, and why don't you just do that? And here's the response. I guess.
No, all no, right. It's like, no, no, it's more like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's never, there's never been anything less satisfying than this job, really. It'd be like working in some information center at a hotel and having someone say, where's the best pizza in town? And you're going, oh, Tony's. It's right on the corner of 5th and Elm. You're going to love this place. And every response you got was,
okay.
If you say so. It's like, would you want to kill yourself at a certain point? I mean, listen, what else can we say? She's not having an orgasm with the guy. She can easily have one herself through just a little bit of rubbing. Let him do a little bit of rubbing. Alex?
Hi.
You're 15. What's up?
Okay. Okay. This is weird. Thing on the radio. Okay. My friends, like, all say, oh, you should do ecstasy. Yeah, you should do it. It won't kill you. They say if you take more than one pill, it can kill you. So will just an overdose kill me? So if I try, it won't kill me.
No, it's not. It's not a deadly drug.
Although people have OD'd on it,
you can get stuff that's not ecstasy.
Right.
The problem with it is not its overdose potential. It's that it's well known to be a brain damaging chemical. It damages the serotonin cells in the brain that are responsible for maintaining your mood.
All right, but she's a chick. What she need her brain for?
And even after a single exposure, you can end up with permanent mood problems. There's now a list of neuropsychiatric symptoms associated with even nominal ecstasy exposure, especially at a young age like you, that as long as my arm. It's just all kinds of things are being reported now. Mostly some people have used at least 10 times, but it can be after one exposure, and certainly one large exposure. So the problem is not, overdose is rather uncommon with that drug, though there are some seizures and hyperthermia and things, but the main thing is these chronic, chronic neuropsychiatric problems that develop from it. And they may not develop, and they don't even begin until 10 years after you used it.
Well.
So I can try it, right? It won't kill.
That's what Drew's saying. Yeah.
10 years from now, you might have problems.
Drew said fine. What you heard from Drew is a big green light. A thumbs up.
Huh? I don't know.
Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on a second. Remember what I said about Alex not needing her brain?
Yeah.
What's she doing?
Huh?
What's she going to do, invent something?
Yeah, but it's not the cognitive issue. It's the fact that she's going to be miserable.
Oh, so she's a little depressed. You're not living with her. We're living together, buddy. No more of these troublesome women holding us back. We're free. Finally, free. Free, I tell you, free.
Alex, it can hurt you.
Okay.
And there's evidence that, like, from people back... been using it for years and years, went back and was called Adam, that they've...
Right.
Dr. Drew said clearly that they have a list of problems that people have started to encounter with this, and if you use it even once, you might have a problem and might regret it for the rest of your life.
All right.
I just don't want to die.
Oh, my God. Hey,
you
honey.
I wish you had.
Hey.
Yeah?
What's going on with you? How did you get so stupid?
Everyone's telling you how great it is and how it feels so good.
All right, listen.
I'm sure it does.
Hold on a second. Earth to Tard, come in. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Before our transmission breaks up, let me tell you this. And I haven't given this speech in a number of months, Drew, and I think it's time for me to give it again. All right?
I'm ready.
People hate this speech, but it is the goddamn truth. Here's the deal. Brains come... in all different strengths. You know what I mean? They're like extra strength, medium strength, and then there's just sort of, there's the low dosage strength, all right? They call it IQ. We all know these people. We know some people that are somewhere in the 80s or 90s, and we know the people that are up 155, 160. Here's the deal. When you do a lot of drugs, it knocks you down a little bit.
knocks your IQ down a little, dulls you down, slows you down a little bit. So if you're up around 150 and you do a lot of drugs and you get knocked down to 135, hey, you're still smarter than the rest of the pack. Not as smart as you could have been, but fine. You're not having any trouble. When you're someone like our last caller and you're barely cracking the triple digits, I mean, you're around 97, 98, maybe on a good day with the wind at your back, you're up 101, maybe 101. You start messing with stuff, and now you're retarded. You go from stupid to retarded. And there's a lot of people that are hovering right there. All right, we got to take ourselves a little break. I'm running a little
bit
late.
You're so smart, Adam.
Thank you.
My boyfriend, literally a millionaire.
Drew, you're getting a rim job and a felching when you get back.
Oh,
after this. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. He's out at Q101 in Chicago, right, Drew?
That's Ram.
That's one of our favorite and oldest affiliates. Are there in the Mercantile Building?
Merchandise Mart.
Oh, yeah. Merchandise Mart.
We always call it the Mercantile. Spent the obligatory 20 minutes talking my way into security.
In the elevator.
Yeah.
You know what I like about security? Security has two modes. Either everyone gets in or nobody gets in. You know what I'm talking about? There's a security guard who just like, go on by. He's not looking. He's not paying attention. He's talking on his cell phone, his old lady. And everyone gets in which case he's no good. Or there's the security that lets nobody in. But it's one or the other. And the idea of security is to let a few select people get in. Like, Drew, how many times have we been there's been some concert or something, and we're supposed to go on stage and announce some band, and we can't get on stage?
Every time.
Every single time. See, in that case, they're on nobody mode. And then there are other times when we're doing things and we're being mobbed by people when they're on let everyone in mode. But all you security guards, listen, you have to be selective. There's certain people who do, like, radio shows and announce bands and things like that. They can go on stage or behind the mic, and then there's other, like, crazed people who can't. Maybe I should give these people a talking to. So you blew one of them and got up the elevator, and you're in a fabulous Q101, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
What a great time.
Rob Kingwell and Jim Rippey are both here, both professional snowboarders, both going to be out at the Forum on the 9th, that is a Saturday, 6:30, for big snowboarding and concert. Eminem, Cottonmouth Kings, Mixmaster Mike, all that, even without the snowboarding being an event, enough. But now we got guys going down a long takeoff ramp onto a quarter pipe and getting upwards of 20 feet of air. And, What an event. A feast for the senses. Not this Saturday. In a couple of Saturdays, September 9th at the Los Angeles Forum. All right. Drew, ready to roll here? Also, Tony Hawk tomorrow night. Craig.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
You're 23. What's happening?
23. Man, I noticed about 2 years ago, whenever I would masturbate, I started getting cramps in my hand, and they gradually got worse and worse up until about a year ago, I finally had a seizure.
In your hand?
Huh.
Yeah, well, it started in my hand as a petite seizure and then progressed to a grand mal seizure.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the only one I've ever had.
Pulled your junk right off, huh?
Yeah. It's the only one I ever had. I've been to a neurologist. They put me on meds, had an MRI, ECG, all that, and everything came up negative. Now it's coming around time where I got to go back to the neurologist. And, I haven't told the doctor anything about that part of it because,
That it came on during masturbation?
Good story, yeah.
It came on during masturbation. But
I'm not sure that's important, frankly.
Well, I think it's very relevant.
But I still have the cramps in my hand every once in a while when I masturbate.
Yeah.
Switch hands? Yeah, use the other hand.
Well, I do that sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Do you get cramps in the other hand?
No, not in the other hand, just in the one.
Is it cramps, or is it when you hold your hand in a fixed position, you can't release the muscle?
Exactly, that's it. When
there's something called Yeah, something called myotonic dystrophy. So that is relevant to your neurologist, that you tell him when you hold your hand in like a fist, you can't release it. You tell him that.
Well, but when I hold like a fist for a long time, it doesn't do it.
Well, yeah. Tell him like when you hold a mop handle in your hand,
baseball bat.
You make a fist on it.
Yeah, tell him you ride motorcycles.
Does that ever happen?
You take your hand off the handlebars.
Right, that's right.
That does happen.
Yeah, right. Someone has to peel your hand off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Tell him that might be of use. It's something worth looking into anyway. And there's some endocrine disturbances, calcium metabolism problems, that kind of thing. You don't take anything else, any supplements or medication otherwise, do you?
No, nothing at all.
You don't drink a lot?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. Other than that, I've been perfectly healthy.
How often are you beating off?
At least once or twice a day.
Yeah. All right.
Did you faint before you had the seizure?
No, I was awake when it started. My hand cramped, and then my arm started to cramp, and then that's when I blacked out.
I got a calf cramp once when I was whacking off because, I like to point my toes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go to that toe point thing, and then the calf cramped right up.
Yeah, that'll do.
I had to walk it off. It was tough. I was at work, so it was so embarrassing to walk around with my pants around my ankles. Hey, all right. Hey, listen, all you guys out there. I was just thinking about when he was talking about the hand cramp, and I was thinking about when I had my hand surgery like a year ago, and how my left hand is basically it's coming undone slowly, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize like my I think I'm getting my carpal tunnel syndrome or something. My wrist kind of hurts and my knuckles all like you guys see my knuckle and see it's like kind of all like white. I'll show you my other one. See, this one's kind of normal. This
it's
is like
bump.
It's getting like all screwed up, and I'm realizing this hand is not going to work that well for that many years. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to switch. Or grow a tail or something. I'm gonna have to break it up. I'm gonna have to start working my other hand because I'm left-handed. And if this happens, I'll kill myself. And if I lose
masturbation,
what are you
talking about using a cat's tail or something?
I'm gonna have to get like a raccoon skin cap or something. I'm gonna have to work some masturbatory thing out that doesn't involve my left hand anymore. You know, what's funny too is I gotta tell you guys so here's a couple techniques a guy should do while they're younger. Practice with both hands. In case there's some sort of accident, you get your hand in a cast, your good hand, could be in a cast for 3 months, you're 14, 15, 16 years old, you're screwed, right? No, you switch to the other hand. So start practicing with both hands, A, number one. B, number two, the full fist technique, not a good one. Work the finger technique in. You ever take two, three fingers and do it? Because, Drew, remember I had my hand in that big cast?
Yeah.
Still able to work it.
Yeah.
Still able to work it because I employ the finger technique, not the fist technique. You understand? Yeah. That's thinking. See, that's
planning
readiness. Ahead. That's planning.
Yeah. Were you a Boy Scout?
That's the,
Did you get a merit badge for that?
Yeah.
Masturbation preparedness?
Oh, it was great, yeah. It was camping. I started a fire, then I put it out with semen. It was great.
You are my teacher.
Thank you. Paige?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Not much. How's it going?
I'm just sitting around thinking about, I'm 36 years old. I'm sitting around and I'm talking about whacking off for 45 minutes a night. There's no way I thought this would happen in my life. No way. No way. I could only imagine like someone explaining me my job when I was 15 years old. What are you going to be doing? You're talking about whacking off. Uh-huh. They'll pay you. Really? Oh, yes. And your voice will go into many, many cities around the country. And all I got to do is talk about beating off? That's all. Wow. That's great. Make a living off of that? Oh, yes. Quite comfortable. Wow. This is great. I can't imagine. I don't know what it is, but this is great. I would have been so happy to hear that at 15.
Don't worry.
All right, Paige.
Now you're disgusting.
Oh, when I've been a bigger pain in the ass in school, I would have just been yelling at teachers. La, la, la. Shut up. I'll make a living talking about whacking off. Oh, his social studies, please. Please, don't waste my time. I need more beat-off stories. Trig calculus? Oh, French? Oh, who cares? I got a career ahead of me talking about whacking off. All right, Paige, what's going on?
I just wanted to say hi to Jim Rippey. I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, well, here he is, Jim.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Awesome. I'm just tripping out that I'm on Love Line. It's kind of funny.
Yeah?
Are you a big snowboarding fan, Paige?
Oh, I like to snowboard, yeah.
Well, you must. Do you do it yourself?
Yeah.
And are you good?
Kind of, not really, but I like it.
Paige is like a good snowboarding name, isn't it?
Who's all going to be at that competition or whatever?
It'd be hard for me to list everyone. It's 20 guys. Pick like a top 20. And just like most of the guys you'd see in the videos and do the major contests and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my God, all of these guys are from Helsinki, too. Yeah, there's that Turgi Hakansen and Ingemar Backman and Juicy Oksanen and Kier Dillon. And,
he's American.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
Kier?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of name is Kier? Kevin Jones, I think. Roman De Marchi, did I get
Swiss.
And,
good international feels.
Jason Travis, Mikey, Trevor. Oh, now we're getting to some guys. Chad, Abe. We got one chew on the circuit. Nick, Ross, and Guy. Okay, so it's just Turge and Ingemar and Juicy. Guys like that.
It's going to be good, though. All the boys are going to be there stepping it up. Cause there's good prize money, and when everybody gets together, we have a lot of fun and just push each other.
I guess, what are the big, besides the United States, what's the big snowboarding countries?
Japan's way into it. I'm going to
go to
Japan in a couple of days to do a promo tour. And,
well, that's for you guys, but where are the good guys coming out of? Same place the skiers are coming out of?
Yeah.
Traditionally?
Exactly. Yeah. Just because, like, in Europe, I mean, all the stars there are alpine athletes instead of, like, football players. There's a lot more support for their alpine.
Right.
And they're the ones that had, like, indoor quarterpipe contests and kind of got this whole idea to come here to the United States. And so we've done a couple quarterpipe contests over there that were really cool, like, out on the ice skating rink, you know, in a big stadium. So.
And what are you going to do in Japan?
Just take pictures with, you know, thousands of Japanese people. Pretty much.
It's just like a press tour? I mean, is there not an event that's going on?
Burton promo tour, and we just go to different places and sign autographs and hang out with people, and it's pretty funny.
I think the Japanese are jealous of the Americans, you know? They want to, like, drive Corvettes and waste a lot of gasoline and have big ranches in Texas and wear Levi's and listen to Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Steve? You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to know what's, like, the laws and, like, sex and stuff. Like, when you're, like, what age you can start legally having it.
Who are you going to have sex with?
Well, I just, like, wanted to know, so.
Well, it depends how old the person is.
Depends what state you're in,
yeah.
Too.
What? Oh, I'm in
different
Wisconsin.
States have different laws.
I don't know.
Where?
Wisconsin.
Well, I don't have Nevo's laws on my tongue, but I imagine it's around 18. Most states around 17, 18.
Because I'm like 16, and I go for like girls that are like a year younger than me, like 14, 15, you know.
Yeah. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
No, he's not.
There.
He is? Well, he's going to get one of them pregnant, and then her dad's going to shoot him, but he's not going to get thrown in jail, right?
Okay, you'll be dead, but not in jail.
Right.
Okay.
So. There's a silver lining to this dark cloud, Steve. Steve, don't nail any 14-year-olds. It's bad karma.
Yeah, the reason those laws are to protect people because people's brain development isn't such that they're ready to handle those sorts of close relationships.
Yeah, but the law isn't a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old or a 6-year-old and a 14-year-old.
It's not as it can be, yeah.
It's not as likely to be a
3-year difference or something.
3-year difference, exactly. Ooh, man.
They vary. Yeah.
Hey, I'm from Wyoming. I think the legal age is 16, so, you know.
Study that law, huh, guys?
No, yeah. Rob's not a legal scholar. He got popped for banging a groupie. All right, what's up? Who are we talking to, Drew? You got somebody there?
Looking at two.
All righty. We'll speak to Bobby. He's 25. Bobby?
How you doing?
Good.
I just have to say you guys rule, and whatever the best compliment you got in the past for what you do, take it again.
Right on, man. Thanks. I appreciate that.
So, anyways, I want to talk about pregnancy prevention.
Right.
I'm familiar with all of the things you guys run through all the time, you know, obviously the pill, rubber, morning after, and all that kind of stuff, and all the miscellaneous other types of prevention. But one thing I never hear about is timing.
Right.
And I'm wondering why that's not worked into the equation of a cumulative kind of prevention, you know? It's like, I don't have that knowledge.
You're talking about the rhythm?
I just heard that commercial on this channel saying you can get pregnant 24 hours, within a 24-hour window every month. And if that's the case, why isn't everybody informed of that as well?
Because you can't tell when that 24-hour window is going to occur.
Oh, really?
It can occur at any time. Yeah, you can't tell when that's going to occur. You can decrease the probability that you're going to, and your sperm will stay in there for 72 hours.
Oh.
So you actually have a 3-day period during which you can impregnate somebody, but it's only within 24 hours of ovulation.
So it's just,
it actually occurs.
So women are good for 1 day out of the month.
One day.
Men's sperm, good for 3.
Right. So
there's an intersection of that.
Right. So your sperm could be hanging around on day number 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the chick's been walking on her hands for 3 days? Or how's that work?
That's clingy.
I see. Oh, God knows. That's so true. I swear to Christ, I've gotten out of the shower and still had half. It looked like a bird crap on my belly. It's like, oh, what the hell?
Get off of me.
She's what was that
vomit
for?
Vomit drop, please.
Like, yeah, but when you got a lot of, you got a lot of hair on you, it's hard to get off. I got to use a mustache comb usually to get that.
But Bobby, the timing method is something that can reduce risk of pregnancy, but it's not particularly reliable. And you got to remember the population we're talking to is not going to fastidiously follow that, so it's really not a viable means.
Right. They're not going to be taking their, what do they call that, basic temperature?
Basal body temperature.
Body temperature and stuff. They're just drunk, stoned, retarded teenagers who are on top of each other with their pants around their ankles.
Maybe, like, you can get, like, once you find out, is there any way of, once you find out when that day is, then if you were, you know, mathematically capable, could that be possible?
Well, but
yeah, you could predict magically when that day was, but it can occur any time during the month in some individuals.
Well, some women know when they ovulate.
Uh-huh.
Like that's also unreliable.
Drew, you know when you ovulate, right? And
I do.
Right, Drew knows, but he's a doctor. And some women know, but the problem is it could change for a woman, right? Although probably doesn't.
No, it probably does.
No, well, wait a minute.
Cold doesn't change that much.
Drew, let me ask you this. The period is connected to the ovulation, right?
Yes.
I mean, in its timing, right? Yes. So if a woman was having a very regular period for a number of years, would it be safe to say that she's also ovulating at the same time for those years?
Yes.
So as regular as a woman's period is as regular as her ovulation is.
But as you know, that change, I put it in a changes all the time.
Yeah, I know, because you put them all in the same office pool, and they all start, the vaginas all start, they all get hooked up, like they start emailing each other or something. I understand that, but if a woman was to have the same period for a number of years, and there's some women that are very regular, then their ovulation would be very regular.
Yes.
And if they had an intelligent boyfriend that was so inclined, he could probably do some math, figure this out, and work around it. We don't like to encourage that because it's a little irresponsible, but it could possibly be done.
That's right.
Okay. And it would be effective if you're in a long-term relationship and you wanted to put a little work and do a little math, right?
It's debatable how effective, but it could be.
All right. You got another call you want to have?
I thought we were doing break here.
Oh, we were? Oh, we'll do that. We usually break late.
All right, Josh, 20.
Hello?
Josh, what's up?
I took ecstasy a little while ago, and the next couple of days there was like blood in my stool, and I was wondering if that could be a side effect of ecstasy.
Not specifically.
Well, he was raped. That's the side effect.
Thing actually.
No, I don't think so. You need to have that checked out, Josh. It's probably just an internal hemorrhoid.
The thing is, it stopped. And then, about 2 weeks later, I took it again, and the same thing happened afterwards.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it must be for you some association there, but it's not a typical side effect.
I have. However, that's not the side, Drew. That's the back, by the way. Do you crave beets when you're high on ecstasy? Because I'm putting a theory together here.
No.
You don't swing by the salad bar?
No, not at all. I was wondering if, like, the ecstasy could be eating the lining of your stomach or something, and that could make you bleed internally.
There it is. There you go.
Now, if your stomach bleeds, you get burgundy stool. You don't get bright red blood per rectum.
Oh, okay.
Pro rectum. That sounds like a good snowboard. Well, who do you ride for, pro rectum? Wow. Yeah, guys coming on pretty strong this year. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very strong sponsor. What's pro rectum make? They make the attire, the goggles, they make the boards, the whole. They endorse pro rectum's been in the sport for many years now. Pro rectum sponsors many of the pro events.
asshole.
You go pro rectum, you don't go at all. That's what we've always said. True? You got that pro rectum.
That's the slogan of the company, matter of fact.
You got that pro rectum tote bag we got at the last event?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the pro rectum visor, windbreaker, and goggles.
Kind of funny shape, but yeah.
I think I may be more amused with the pro rectum than anybody else there, but it still sounds like a good name for a snowboarding company. All right, Drew, let us take a little break. Who are we going to talk to when we come back?
Let's talk to Molly finally. She's 15.
Molly has been on hold for a solid 30 minutes. Has honest commitments with intimacy and
high. She's committed to staying online.
You're talking about high on E.
Oh, shut up. How dare you? Drew, I'll tell you. When we make love, when you come back from Chicago in the airport, when we make love, it's not going to be a nice passive. It's not going to be a loving love. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of those vengeance Fs. They're really going to work you. Yeah. You're really going to earn your money. All right? Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah. And a quick rim job. We'll be back. Hey, yeah. Are we going here, Anderson?
Yes, we're here.
Hey, that's Loveline, man. For all that is Dr. Drew over there in Chicago. When are you coming back, Drew?
Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Oh, we didn't get a meet show, Dr. Drew.
I started seeing someone else.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. I'm coming. I'm coming to get you.
Rob Kingwell and Jim Rippey are both here, both professional snowboarders, both here promoting the big event, which is going on in the Forum, the Great Western Forum, as they call it. M&M, Cottonmouth Kings, Mix Master Mike, September 9th. Coming right on up, 6:30, the doors open, snowboarding and music and lots of guys from Finland hanging out. His names you can't pronounce, but are good snowboarders.
Yep, all the superstars are going to show up for this. It's the ACG Indoor, and it's kind of like a dream come true. I always wanted to have kind of monster truck rally / snowboarding events in the United States, and this was one of the first ones ever to happen.
Yeah, and in the Forum, and growing up in Los Angeles, I mean, it's bizarre just hearing about a snowboarding event, although I guess I didn't even know what snowboarding was growing up here in Los Angeles. But I was just overhearing.
Hell, you didn't know what snow was.
That's true. I was overhearing Rob talk about the Olympics, and, of course, snowboarding being an Olympic event. When did that start? Like two
1998.
Or just one? So and how do you try out for the Olympic snowboarding team?
They haven't really set out the trials yet. They're still trying to figure out the exact method of going, but we're going to have a trial system, probably 3 to 5 contests. You got to qualify in the States, and you also have to get quota spots through the FIS in order to have enough spots for, like, the United States to go as a team.
Would these be events that would take place anyway, and they see how you place in these events, or are these special events set up just for qualification?
Well, they're initially, they started out as special events, and they have moved into a series. It's called the Grand Prix Tour. It's run by the USSA, and it's pretty much one of the premier snowboarding events, like tours in the States. And so that's usually what I go to, is those Grand Prix events.
So whoever comes out on top, and how many different events do they have in snowboarding in the Olympics?
They've got two. They've got GS, which is kind of like ski racing.
Right.
And you go around gates, and then there's halfpipe, which is a freestyle event. And we were trying to push for border cross, but it didn't ever come through.
So if you are winning the if you're the points leader at the end of the year at the half pipe, does that make you eligible for the Olympics?
You have to go to these qualification events and do, like, have to be the top 3 or 4 in, like, after that series of events.
I'm thinking about trying out this year, Drew. I know I've never
been. You've got to learn to snowboard.
Well, I've never been on a snowboard. Well, that's the thing. My thing is I'm a busy man. I don't have time to futz around with the kids. I go right for the Olympics. And I just figure, I'm the kind of guy who reacts well to pressure. You know what I'm saying? I think I would come through if I was doing it for the country. And I just figured, let's just put the snowboard on for the first time and just go for it. You know what I mean? Like in a competition. Really just go for it. True?
Yeah, just before, yeah. Forget the trials, forget the training.
Forget all that.
Get out there.
What I'm doing is I'm saving it for the event, is what I'm saying. And you better hope I don't hurt my ass on one of those half pipes, by the way.
All right. Molly 15.
Molly?
Molly.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
I got, like, this thing where, like, I'm afraid of what you would call, I guess, commitment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I guess I just can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
And,
how come?
I don't know. I just can't. I don't know. It's just...
Well, why is trust such a big issue to you? Where has there been violation of your trust in the past?
Well, like, I've been lied to and stuff a lot. And
like about Santa and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, whatever. I guess you could say
shut
that.
Down.
Yeah. So that reminds me of how I scored with the chicks in high school. Yeah, whatever. Hey, Molly?
Yeah?
Where's your dad?
He's in California.
I see. And where are you?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, great. Right. So,
there you go.
Would he abandon the family?
No, not at all, no.
Oh, I see. He's just living in a different state?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's still very, family in the fam?
Very much yeah. involved. There's a long hallway to your room from there. Or what's he doing in California?
He lives there with some of my family.
And why isn't he living with you?
Because I live with my mom.
I'm going to write this down. And,
we'll see how this could be some trust issues for you, Molly.
How often do you see him?
I see him, like, every summer. So.
Yeah. When did he cut out?
When did they get divorced, you mean? Or whatever?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This could have something to do with it, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm an expert, and I say it does.
Okay, whatever you say.
All right. So there you go, Miss Smartass. Have a fun life, being a pain in everyone's ass, and denying all of your problems and not listening to anyone's advice, all right? I'll see you at the
moment. But listen, it's understandable you have trust issues.
All right. What happened to my life, please?
And the fact is that you may get over this as time goes on. You're going to have to if you're going to have real relationships. But at 15, all things being equal, it's okay to sort of hold back a little bit. You could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
As we know, people get sort of set into trajectories. And
right.
You sort of...
You'd be blowing past a football team.
Yeah, the not trust one is not such a bad one to be in on right now.
And so, what do I call our listeners? Egotards? Yeah, you egotards. It's egomaniac meets retard. Let me tell you what the answer to your emotional, intimate problem is not going to be. It's not going to be because you're too smart or too good-looking or too thin or too rich. It's going to be something that's not real flattering and something you got to deal with. So because somebody drank a little too much, somebody abandoned you, somebody beat you, or somebody raped you. All right? So if you call in the show and you want to know why you're having a little trouble committing to a man, and you're telling me you live in Texas and your dad started a new life and he lives in California, that's your answer.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right? And you want to be a pain in the ass about it, fine. It's your life. I'm telling you what the answer is. If you don't want to hear it, don't call the show. I wish people would stop calling the show, Drew.
I know that.
I'd have more time for high school football stories. Michelle?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I got a problem, okay? I've been with my boyfriend for a while now, and, you know, we really love each other. And recently we started taking our relationship a step higher, and we've been having sex and everything. I've sit there and I've had to like fake orgasms. We'll go 4 or 5 hours straight and I won't be able to hit an orgasm and I don't even know why.
Yeah.
You tired?
No, I'm in pain.
Your vagina's on fire?
No. We usually keep some KY jelly nearby just in case.
Oh my God. Hold on a second.
This is
the chick I start dating after these two break up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the one who
went
for the marathon, tons of lube, bagging the bejesus out of her for 12 hours straight. Guys, this is the one I get next. And this is the one where we're on date number 18, and I put my hand on her lap, and she's like, I've decided to slow down. I've been just
taking notes of celibacy.
I've been getting cornhole for so long. I've been getting worked in every which way but loose. And I've just decided I'm just going to start slowing it down. I mean, I'm spitting up lube from last year. I'm this is the one I get. I get after this relationship, this is where I step in. After the four hours tub of lube. Michelle?
And usually, don't they usually find Jesus Christ about that point, too?
Yeah, that's right. I was a prostitute, but I've turned my life over to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to have the surf and turf.
The four and a half hours actually isn't as long as I've ever been, and even the longer times I'd have to fake because I wouldn't be able to hit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because...
Here's a tip for all the ladies, though. Fake hour two, hour three. Don't wait to get to four and a half before you fake.
Yeah. Go watch
you go to school?
Huh?
What's the longest you've had sex?
During spring break, I went with my boyfriend, like, 2.5 days. We just stayed in bed all that time. Well, I think we took like a total of 4 breaks during that time.
4 15-minute breaks?
It was a little longer, about an hour or two.
About an hour or two. What, did you have a bedpan to make in, or did you just go to bath? Did you go to the bathroom?
No. If when either one of us had to go, it'd be like, okay, 3 minutes, you know, and sit there and go to the bathroom or whatever. And even, but in fact, those hours weren't even breaks because we'd be in the shower.
Getting it on. All right, so let me just see if I can work the math here. Out of a 62-hour period, you took about 2.5 hours off from having sex.
Did you sleep?
Huh? Did we sleep? No, we didn't. We were like...
All right, hold on a second. Here's why you can't believe chicks. Here's why I never believe what they say. Here's why you can't believe women. They don't know they're lying. She doesn't know that she's lying right now. She's obviously lying and has no idea. She's like OJ. She believes her own rap.
Yeah.
Remember, who was our guest last night? Oh, Beth Broderick. Remember I got that argument with her, Drew, about her ceiling?
Her ceiling, yeah.
She told me, she said, my bedroom has a 35-foot ceiling. I said, no, it doesn't. She said, oh, yes, it does. I said, no, it doesn't. She said, you've never been to my house. I don't have to. She said, who are you talking to? My bedroom has a 30. I said, you know how tall a 35-foot ceiling is? How tall? I said, it's a 3.5-story building. So stand outside a 3- or 4-story building and look up at the top of the building. That's how high your bedroom ceiling is? Well, it's at least 20 feet. Oh, yeah. So the point is, she had no idea she was lying. She'd been telling everyone that.
But, I mean, she seemed like a different person last night.
She was nice, right?
Yeah.
But Michelle over here, Michelle expects us to believe that in 62 hours she took 3 hours off and never slept. All right, would you say, Drew, as a doctor, it's a physical impossibility?
Yeah, they would have dehydrated. They need to take some fluids. They would have had an IV attached in order to pull that off.
All right, Michelle?
Yeah?
All right, we're calling you a liar.
Okay, you can call me a liar. You're lucky my boyfriend isn't here because he would be yelling at you guys like, oh, my goodness.
All
he would be totally exploding just for calling me a liar.
All right, so 59 hours out of the 62 you guys had sex.
I'm not exactly sure of complete hours. I didn't count. I'm sorry.
Right, just 2.5 days, though.
Is this pure in-and-out sex or what?
What do you mean, in and out sex?
Like
you know, there's some hand jobs, some oral sex in there.
Oh, there was all kinds of things going on.
Okay, but no orgasm during that 59-hour period?
No, I had to fake.
I see. What did you fake 145 times in that?
No.
In those 2 days?
No.
All right. Why'd you fake? You didn't have to.
I couldn't hit. I don't know. Either it's because of what happened to me in the past or just good or something.
Now we're getting to it. And first off, God bless you for having sex for 60 hours and not having an orgasm and going and going and going and never having one. But what happened to you in the past?
In January of 2 years ago, I was raped by 4 different guys. They drugged me and raped me.
What about before that?
I was molested by my deceased uncle and.
There you go.
That's what we're getting at.
Bingo.
There's always something before.
Yeah.
And what happened? Well, first off, thank God your uncle's dead. That's good news. And how long did he molest you?
From when I was 9 till I was about 14.
Mm-hmm. So just 5 years?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's, oh, my God. And how did he die?
He had a heart attack on Thanksgiving.
Oh.
When I was 14 and a half.
No, you must have danced a jig on him.
Yeah, I was like, I was crying, not because he died, but because he died, you know.
And
he wasn't there anymore.
Was this your dad's brother?
No, actually, the lady he was married to, she's not really my aunt, but she's been in our family so long that she's adopted.
There we go.
All right, so this is why you're having sex for 60 hours and why you're not having an orgasm. Right?
No.
Yeah. Hey, listen. This is everything.
This is it, Michelle.
This is everything. My God, you've been to hell and back. Thank God this bastard's dead. It's too bad he had a heart attack. I wish it was something a little slower. You know, like a nice cancer or something like that.
He had cancer on top of it.
Oh, good.
He had a heart attack.
Oh, good. I'll be able to sleep tonight. All right.
No, it was like in the night though. In fact, he had the heart attack right when he got done doing what he was doing to me.
Oh, my God.
Were you in the room with him, or just a...
He was in my room. I was sleeping, and he would wake me up at night, do what he wanted to do, and then walk out of my room. And that night, he didn't walk out. He died.
In your room?
Yeah.
Well, now, we've all... I don't know if everyone, but we've all had this happen at one time or another. And we hear it every night, but it's never easy. Oh, my God. God.
Michelle.
So this guy kicked off in your room?
Yeah.
On top of you?
I don't live in the house.
Oh, Drew, come on, Drew. Now you're pushing. You're trying to stretch a triple into an in-the-park home run here. If he was on top of you, I'm going through the roof. No.
When he had his heart attack?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was not.
Oh, my God.
I swear.
No, he was not.
No, he was. Had his heart. He was.
That, you know what? That's what I was getting from her, is that she was hiding the fact that he had the heart attack while he was having sex with her.
On hour 61, anybody would keel over.
Yeah. Michelle, these are major, profound human traumas. This is about as much as a human being can tolerate and survive. So you really have got to do something about this.
I actually thought I wasn't going to make it through this. I was 14 and drinking more alcohol than my family combined.
How old?
Got to get help.
And that's a lot of booze. And how old was your uncle?
He was 56, I think. Yeah, he was 56.
And he was really on top of you when he had this heart attack.
I swear on my life.
In the park home run.
And how?
He did his thing. Well, he was on top of me. He had his heart attack, and then he rolled over and kind of dragged me with him because he was inside me, and I'm sitting there trying to squirm to get off, and I was crying at the same time and screaming and everything else.
When people came in, did they wonder what was going on? Or
my parents, at that time, both of them were truck drivers, and they were both out, and my aunt, she's kind of hard of hearing, so it took about 20 minutes before somebody finally heard me screaming.
Oh my God.
All right. Hey, Michelle.
This 60 hours of sex stuff is a reaction to all this. That is not sex. That's some sort of arousal discharge. You just try to distance yourself from any kind of experience. That's, you know, just to stimulate yourself into some sort of relief of all this pain you must carry around with you.
Well, like I said before, I was drinking more alcohol than everything in my family combined. And just recently, I'm recovered alcoholic.
Good.
Yeah, but talk to your doc. Talk to your
doctor and everything.
Talk to your sponsor. Talk to your sponsor about sexual compulsion, too, because you're getting into that big time.
I'll tell you. I don't know. What percentage of society would say if I had their died while their uncle died while they were in them? 40, 50?
The uncle was...
It can't be 100%. Oh, my God. I'm saying I'm not an idiot. It's lower than 50%. Probably
I'd say.
Low 40s. 42, 43%?
Yeah, even below 40.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know. So. These are troubled times. God,
7 years of sexual abuse and then dying inside with the aunt nearby. Yeah, I think 35%.
All right. Now listen. Here's my point. Let's just say there is a hell. I got to hang out with this cat because I used the Lord's name in vain a handful of times and whacked off once, once or twice. You know what I'm saying? There got to be tears of hell. You know what I mean? That's echelons.
Here's the way I feel.
I look at hell like subterranean parking. You know, there's up top, there's almost street level, and once in a while you just keep whining and whining and whining and whining. You do that over at K-Rock once in a while, right? You get all the way to... That's where I figure this guy is. Me, I'm right near the elevator at the top of hell.
But it's close to you.
The bad news is you're going to hell. The good news is you're right at the top. You're like the cream of hell.
You go to hell and you die!
All right, we'll take a break.
Let's flashback how that call started.
All right, hold on, Drew.
Nothing to say. Nothing wrong with my path, nothing.
Right. It's funny, I called her a liar, but I believed every second of that uncle dying in me story. Yeah. We'll take a break. Rob and Jim are both here, both professional snowboarders, both going to be out at the Great Western Forum with the Cottonmouth Kings and Eminem and Mixmaster Mike. Riding the quarter pipe, getting 20 feet of air, doing all that stuff. Give me some move names. You know what I mean? Like a Brody? Is that a move? No?
A lot of the names are the same ones from skateboarding, like McTwist and stuff like that, but then there's kind of...
McTwist,
yeah. Yeah, then there's like corked stuff, which means it's kind of sideways, like 720s, like flip 720s, flip 900s, things like that that are a little different than skateboarding.
Every good extreme sport has a can-can in it. Is there a can-can yet in the snowboarding realm?
Really.
You can work that in.
Do 1 foot airs, kind of like can-can, but it wouldn't be called
a can-can. Wouldn't be called a can-can? And how about a Brody? No Brodies? Can't work the Brody in?
No.
Jizz guzzling?
Oh, my God.
True. That?
Yeah. What do you mean? It just came out of your mouth.
Was,
you know what I'm saying.
God.
What is
fart horn.
Oh.
Ah.
All sorts of stuff coming out of your mouth today.
Yeah. You got to start doing the show sober so you remember.
Can I say that?
Kimberly?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm worried about my friend. She's so perverted. She's, like, going to get raped, and I'm so afraid for her.
Yeah. She couldn't have beat our last caller.
I don't understand why she's like that.
All right. Well, how old is she?
She's 13.
And what's she doing?
She's letting guys rope on her. She's letting guys...
Oh, maybe it's just to bring them good luck.
I don't know. It's her. It's like, I tell her, Anna, calm down. You're going to get raped. She was almost kidnapped last week.
All right. Well, why don't you talk to her one parent? The sober one.
Her mom.
Her mom is like her.
Yeah, that's my problem. I should say.
How old is her mom?
Her mom is about 27.
Right, but she has an older brother. Who's 19. All right.
14 when she had the baby.
Right. All right, here we go again, everybody. Yeah. And Kimberly, you be the best friend you can be, and you tell her everything you know, but after that, she's on her own.
But she thinks that she can't get pregnant because she is sexually active.
You can. She can. Look, I was thinking about her mom.
She thinks...
Mom got pregnant at 14.
Huh?
Her mom got pregnant at 14.
Well, it's up to her. That's her decision. But she's like, well, I smoke a lot of weed, so it doesn't...
Listen, that's it. I'm moving to Canada. Where are you calling from, Kimberly?
Los Angeles.
All right, now I'm moving. First, I'm going to Colorado, and then I'm going to Canada. All right, Drew, one more quickie here before
we go.
It just seems better. It's like it's going to be my transition place before I go to Canada.
I see.
Ben?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
You want to know if there's any way to get rid of body hair?
Yeah.
Lasers and wax and all that kind of stuff. Well, listen, don't worry about it. You're a man, all right?
Okay, but are there like any cheap ways?
Yes, you can burn yourself. Use have a crack pipe explode on you.
What part of your body hair?
Oh, listen, who cares? I was yelling about this last night. Men have hair on them. And listen, you chicks who've been hanging around with the fags too long, guys are supposed to have hair on them. Get used to it. Embrace
it. Hey,
what?
Adam, if we're going to be a couple,
yeah,
you have to do something.
I shave my ass? That's just so you can find my hole. My balls look like the chin of an old Chinaman. I'm going to shave an arrow into each cheek heading in.
heading into the crack, all right? All right, we'll take a break. Yeah. Well, that is it, everybody. Another fabulous love line in the can. Drew?
Hey.
Hey. All right. What time is it over there? 2 hours difference? Two.
I'm good. I'm 5 hours.
All right. Think about me, would you, brother? And
I can't wait to see her. I can't wait.
And don't, if you watch that SpectraVision, you think of me. Think about me complaining about the $12 charge and they cut the penises out. All right, I want to thank Rob and Jim for coming in here and doing a great job tonight. Again, September 9th, everybody. You can see not only Rob and Jim, but Eminem and a whole bunch of guys from Helsinki and Cottonmouth Kings and Mixmaster Mike, all at the Great Western Forum for big snowboarding extravaganza and rock concert. It's going to be huge. September 9th, Saturday, coming up. Thanks, guys. You say thanks now?
Thank you.
There you go. Tony Hawk tomorrow night. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Drew, you're getting a rim job and a felching when you get back.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Anne Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.